It's like laundry.
I think you're so right, darling. I think that tells you.
I haven't told her what yet. I haven't told you what yet?
What?
Yes, what? Clot.
I agree, categorically. Come to bed.
You can't do that. You can deny categorically, you can't agree categorically. You aren't sleeping in my trousers, are you?
Pajamas.
Especially when you don't know what you're agreeing with.
How do you know? I expect they're in the bathroom.
Ah, that could well be.
I don't see why.
Because they just could be. Only they aren't.
I mean, I don't see why about categorically.
I know, I put them somewhere. What? Well, I should hope you don't, nice girl like you. That's politicians' language. Denying categorically means that they didn't do any of something. Agreeing categorically means agreeing to all of something. They never do that.
Are they under the bed?
Well, I wouldn't put it past them. Let's see. Ah, yes, they are.
Which ones?
The reds. They're the ones for under beds. Well, under mattresses. Reds with a light green check. My television ones I'm going to wear. Yes, good. They're coming on nicely. Smart as a whip I shall be in those trousers.
Not if you don't get in and sleep on the damn things.
Certainly. Why not?
What's like laundry?
Us are. We are. Writing books is. One on, one off, and one in the wash. One being published, one just finished, and the next one we're thinking about. Incidentally, you do realise...
Two being published.
I was just going to say that. That's why. We aren't going on the box as a pair of staggeringly successful wordsmiths. What's caught the volatile imagination of the teleplanners is both having a book published on the same day, to wit, next Thursday. You with the angry heart and me with a dead man's gibbet. When we come out with the next couple, you with Love is a Trumpet and me with Who Killed Bruno Travers, and not even in the same month, I shouldn't be surprised,
we shan't get enough publicity to sink a rubber duck.
Don't you think, darling? Diana? Mrs. Potter? Struggling authoress Magnolia Badminton. Ah, well, that's marriage. Always there when you need them. Don't be late in the morning.
Busy week this week, remember?
It's 8 o'clock on Monday, the 29th of April. Good morning from Bill Bottom and Harold Coot Flashman in the Today studio. The headline.
Thank you very much. Now then, coffee, milk, sugar.
Good morning, darling.
Good morning, darling.
Are you making the coffee?
No, 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 no. No, just arranging the milk jugs and things in interesting patterns.
Will you bring it into the sunroom? I think I'll go in there.
Certainly, by all means. It's a lovely morning.
Yes, well, I'll do that then.
Leave the door open and I can... Thank you.
Could you say something?
I only said leave the door open.
Oh, right.
I love you, little bird, Bren. I left my vest in the television center.
What's that tune you're singing?
Oh, that, well, I haven't got it right yet. No, I was just thinking about being on television. Last time, when they got me on that discussion about whatever it was...
I remember. Mm-hmm. And you never uttered.
That's right, they forgot to bring me in. That was August, hottest day of 90 years. And I took my vest off behind the scenery.
And caught bronchitis on the way home. Yes, I remember.
So that's what happened.
I see. What happened?
I left my vest in the television centre. That's what.
Is there any more?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't think so. No, just a lot of black grit.
No, not coffee. Tune.
Ah! Oh, well, there's more tune, but not words yet. I left my vest in the television centre. La dum pa da dee da dum pum.
I wonder who's wearing it now.
Very good. All together now. I left my vest. I left my vest in the television centre. I wonder who's wearing it.
I wonder who's wearing it now.
Between you and me, gentle reader, if any, I don't go a bundle on self-promotion by authors. You don't see me with the rest of the crowd shuffling on their knees after producers and people trying to touch the hem of their garment. I call that very degrading myself. Besides, I write the wrong sort of books. Frivolous, you see. Full of corpses. Just at the moment, fresh from the publicity conference with my publisher, I realise this more than ever. Waiting downstairs for the usual hour or so in his sumptuous vestibule, paid for by me, I had a browse round some of his samples lining the walls. No Gerald C. Potter's. They keep those in the basement. But there were some fascinating titles on show. The Life and Times of Bishop Berkeley. First Steps in Mexican Feather Weaving. That's the stuff your reading public are fighting to get their hands on. Worms, by the popular quiz game personality Dr. Raymond Chuckett. 400 pages, 32 plates in glorious wormy colour. All going for a song at a mere £19.95. I mentioned it to my publisher when he finally granted me an audience. You know, you have to find some way of starting a publicity conference.
I don't have the figures offhand, but I know he's well up in the 50,000 mark. I'm so glad you enjoyed it. And, of course, he's a tremendous asset, publicity-wise. He's on everything. Panorama, the Money Programme.
My wife and I are doing a programme on Thursday.
Today, tonight, tomorrow's world.
Thursday afternoon.
Oh, yes, everything. What was that?
Been fixed up by her publishers. We're both...
Oh, has it? Who are they?
Quince and Fosdyke. She used to be,
but... Oh, them. You wouldn't like a glass of sherry?
Very much.
Oh, in that case, I suppose we must... Eileen, bring in some sherry, would you? I've got Mr...
Potter.
Potter here. No, just the ordinary. Now then, let's see what we've lined up for you, promotion-wise. Here we are. Potter, publicity, dead man's giblet.
Gibbet.
This author on his only previous TV... Yes, on television, you know, the important thing is a striking appearance, plus a few eccentric mannerisms, and at all costs, keep talking. I see you've faced the cameras before, and apparently didn't say anything.
Well, that was only... There were vindicating circumstances. I left my vest in the... Oh, good morning.
Is that okay? Viola Rose, fam gusta?
Good girl, thank you. Now, Raymond Chuckett happens to be... There we are.
Yeah, how kind.
Raymond happens to be extremely lucky with his looks, of course. Totally bald. One eye a bit peculiar. Very striking appearance indeed.
My wife has one.
Which he's clever enough to dress up to, you see. Has she really? A ginger stubble?
A striking appearance. Cheers.
Oh, a big woman, is she? Leathery looking?
Right. Sorry. I wouldn't call her a...
Funny teeth? Facial blemishes?
No, not at all.
Quite frankly, you see, Mr. Potter, your own particular elegance...
Oh, no, really.
It's the kiss of death, lenswise. The collar and tie bit, the knife-edged trouser bit, all that shirt cuff sticking out.
Yes, well, I'm sorry.
Ever try scratching?
Scratching where?
In the studio. They'll always zoom in for that. If Raymond ever loses camera, he always... However, never mind that, forget it. Purely academic, in any case, because I see here, as a matter of fact, that we haven't any TV laid on for you. So, that just leaves you with Radio Putney, Wednesday evening. Sounds thrilling.
Yes, indeed.
Sounds thrilling, it's called. Well, I mean, as far as we're concerned, naturally, if your wife's publishers like to chance their arm with a TV appearance, well, that's entirely up to them.
Oh, but of course I can be there, Mr. Fosdyke. You just, you try and keep me away. So that's tomorrow morning at 10. Yeah. Oh, Mr. Quince, is it? Well, both you and Mr. Fosdyke have such lovely voices. Do I mind what? Coast Guards? Not a bit. In the studio? About how many? About 20. Yes, isn't that rather a lot? I mean, it's fine with me, but... Oh, dear, I am a fool. I'm so sorry. Postcards. I should have guessed. No, really. Now, I'm perfectly happy to read them. Yes, in enormous quantities, if that's what they want. Mm-hmm. Yes, not forgetting baby Jason. He thinks you're smashing. I beg your pardon? Jason, not forgetting him. Those request postcards. No, never mind. By the way, talking of reading, I suppose there isn't the slightest chance they'll have read the book. Well, I don't know who. Whoever's interviewing me about it, I know they never do. I just thought for once they might.
What is this? Old place bolted and barred? Oh, well, perhaps she's forgotten to pull up the drawbridge in the sunroom. Have a look round there now.
Yes, all right then. Yes, Radio Twickenham, I've got that. No, of course I shan't forget Thursday. Good heavens. I mean, radio's lovely, but television... Oh, yes, it gets a lot more viewers, I agree. Categorically. Thank you very much indeed, Mr. Fosdyke. Yeah, I mean Quince. So, that's tomorrow morning, Radio Twickenham, tape book.
You don't mind a few drops of blood with yours?
Which window did you break?
The little cracked one. Just to turn the key. Small blood and fire water.
Oh, thank you. Good evening, darling.
Good evening, Mrs. Potter.
Are you all right?
Yeah, fine. Hardly bleeding at all.
You're not losing your voice this week of all weeks.
No, I don't think so. No, there it is. Why?
Well, I thought I could taste your throat stuff. Sort of creosote and treacle.
Ah, yes. Publisher sherry, that was. Lasts the whole day through.
Don't sit on the couch.
Oh, sorry. He's getting me on Radio Putney.
Radio Twickenham, me? Cheers.
No, Putney.
Oh, well, skip it. And I didn't want the press swarming in.
The press? You've had the swarming press? Times Literary Supplement? New Statesman? Playboy?
Mrs. Trilby.
Really? Oh, that's marvellous. Who's she?
You know Mrs. Trilby. Does the weddings for the South Weald Advertiser.
And she's 15 years late.
No, she isn't. They always put her on gossip when they get local celebrities with books out.
Fame at last, then, would it be true to say?
It would, as a matter of fact, yes. You could get 2 pages in The Spectator and nobody notice. 1 mention in The Advertiser and you're beckoned to the front of the queue in The Ironmongers.
You are? Well. I bet that never happened to Mr. and Mrs. Kingsley Amis. I hope you told her that I'm on... Oh, well, you wouldn't have known then. No, I'm on Radio Putney, you know.
Radio Twickenham, I'm on.
Can we get it down here? It's on Wednesday, let's see.
Tomorrow morning, Tuesday, Girls About Town.
Sounds thrilling. I think he's the chap that keeps yelling, yes, sadidi, folks and sweethearts.
And that will be followed by some reminiscences on the stuffed insects of Finland by James Whittingham Tooley.
Get stuffed, Twit.
Because they're all unbelievable fans of your very own highly incredible Radio Twickenham. Yes, sadidi, folks and sweethearts.
Damn.
Oh, well done, darling. Write it down while you remember. The hats.
Hats?
The killer hats on the dial, otherwise you won't remember.
Who wants to remember Radio Twickenham?
Oh, I thought you did.
Putney, dear, Putney. P-U-Utney.
In this little chanson, in the Auvergne dialect, the quail is saying, I have a nest of hare and rabbit's fur, and my eggs are the prettiest in the world.
Oh, God. I'm having another of these. Another fire water for you. Diana? Good grief. Now what's got into her? Yes, it was very bad, that. Very. And mea culpa, I'm afraid. But we artists, you know, we artists. You can see why the Richard Burtons keep splitting up. Him wanting to be domiciled in Putney, her in Twickenham. Terrible scenes over the custody of the cat. Still, they keep coming together again, and so do we. It's just a matter of flying in with an olive branch in your beak. Which is what I did later that evening. Just said that I'd behaved unforgivably, and that was enough. She forgave me. And cheaper than rolling colossal diamonds round the pickled onions any day of the week. And the important day of that week, of course, was to be Thursday. Our really big coming together. The great Mr. and Mrs. Potter, literary husband and wife, chat show, telespectacular. I mean, radios Twickenham and Putney had been all right. But Thursday afternoon now, TV Southdown. Good heavens, we'd be beaming in on half the ironing boards from Horsham to Tunbridge Wells. I left my vest in the... Shut up, Potter. Concentrate. Marshal your thoughts. I'm very glad you asked me that question, Brian, because my new book, Dead Man's Gibbet...
Gerald? Darling? Look what I've got. Darling. Look, darling. Oh, Lord, you haven't started it bleeding again.
I'm very glad you asked me that question.
What are you doing with the cat biscuits? Look, press cutting, shall I open them?
Bunging up the window. Against Apaches. The back of the packet just fits.
I see. And they'll be so fascinated reading about strong bones and strong teeth for your pussy. Contains liver, beef dripping, yeast, proteins, essential roughage.
What about the cuttings?
Cutting, actually. Cheltenham and Nailsworth Sentinel.
Your book or mine? Let's see.
Both, actually. Don't bleed over my trousers.
No, sorry, darling. Is that what you're wearing for this afternoon? Your Barbara Edwards weather forecasting separates with graceful hand movements?
Other books received, it says. The Angry Heart by Magnolia Badminton and Dead Man's Goblet by Gerald C. Pooter. They're tucked in at the bottom under a huge notice of a book called Worms by Dr. Raymond.
I don't know whether you saw the programme at all. No, well, I quite understand that. Admittedly, there was strong competition on the other channel. A great British whodunit of the 20s with an entire cast of dead actors. But if you did see us, I hope you don't think that Diana was the big woman with the funny teeth next to the chairman. And I, of course, wasn't the totally bald man with one eye a bit peculiar and a ginger stubble sitting on the other side. We were right out on the fringes, actually. One to each fringe. In fact, the chairman got quite witty about that. Obviously, he said, when he finally remembered to introduce us, a team of husband and wife collaborators like Mr. Badminton and Miss Potter would seize any possible chance to make a change and get away from each other. And naturally, Dr. Chuckett... Ah, you've guessed. Yes, he was onto it like a bird on a bun, scratching all over and yelling that it was a misconception to suppose that a chopped-up worm could join itself up again. In his next book, More Worms, which by the merest chance he happened to have brought an advance copy of, the fallacy was disproved beyond a peradventure. His very words, those, beyond a peradventure. Then, of course, the other nine authors were all trying to get a word in, brandishing their books like skating judge numbers. And I must say it was really wonderful of Diana brandishing Dead Man's Gibbet like that. Even if she did call it a story of romantic love on a sun-drenched tropical island. But it was when I brandished Hearts in Anger and said it was a gripping tale of blood and more blood that we really captured the cameras. Well, I did. I don't think even the totally bald Doctor of Worms got a looking after that. Though, to be honest, I didn't quite realise why at the time.
New lunatic, sir, darling.
Can't hear.
I said you really mean that.
Yes, really, darling. Terribly good.
You really thought I was? I thought you were.
Not me. Not you. It. Come to bed.
What it?
You know what it.
Oh, yes, of course. That it. Oh, it was just a bit of luck there, really. I didn't even know it was happening.
I could hear it, and I was about 12 authors away. They were such enormous splashes.
Yeah, even the producer said it was good television after the programme. They don't usually say anything to me after the programme.
No, it was the timing.
Yes.
It was just as you said, blood and more blood, that your wound began to drip. They zoomed right in and stayed zoomed. I saw it on the monitor.
I do wish this bed wouldn't do that.
This one doesn't. You're putting your light out?
Yes. It doesn't?
Not a bit. I'm putting mine out.
No, don't bother. I'll come over and put it out.
Mm.
There. I was just thinking. You know how you'd have finished the scene in the good old days when you first became a romantic lady novelist?
No. How?
Three dots, end of chapter 6.
I suppose I would. What's wrong with that?
Not a thing, Miss Badminton. Not a thing.